You're listening to the Sound in Faith podcast, coming to you from Faith Baptist Fellowship in beautiful Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
And our aim is to encourage the saints of Faith Baptist Fellowship to believe sound doctrine and to live lives that adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wear it like a coat.
Yes. You know, I know it is so Midwesternly cliche to talk about the weather, but man, oh man, it is lovely. It is March. It is mid-March here.
70 degrees today.
In South Dakota. 75.
75.
It's going to be 75 degrees.
And you're wearing a winter hoodie. We have to come up with some merch that is summery.
We do. Well, if you go to SIF Podcast, SIFpodcast.com.
Sound in Faith, SIF Podcast.
Yep. We do have some t-shirts that you can get. We got some merch there. You can also find the links to bios about us, and that's not just so that we can toot our own horn. That's just so you can know who we are.
Yeah.
In case you're a listener who doesn't come here to Faith.
Plus, who doesn't want a t-shirt with such a cool image of a guy with a beard and glasses?
Right. I mean, absolutely. You know, it is chilly still here in the mornings. It was like 40 degrees when I left my house and all of that.
Yeah.
You always look so prim and proper and professional.
Oh, well, thank you.
I've kind of got the stereotypical Gen X look of the, you know, the hoodie and the hat. And
I dress like a guy in his 50s.
You do. I'm young. I'm the 47-year-old, almost 48-year-old. Hey, it is a good day to be a follower of Jesus. It's always a good day to be a follower of Jesus.
God is so gracious to us.
He is indeed. And he has shown that grace to us through Jesus Christ. And because of that, we have the amazing privilege to show that grace and love toward others.
Mm.
And that's what we're talking about today. Showing that love to our neighbors, showing that love to others. As we continue this series of our five loves here at Faith Baptist Fellowship.
We've gotten a lot of good feedback. A lot of people have reached out and said how much they've appreciated this. And I hope as we continue through this that we just, you know, really just enjoy thinking through who we are as a church. And also for those who are outside of the church, just to think about, you know, what it is that... there's a reason why we love these loves.
Yeah.
You know, there's a reason why these are right at the core of who we are. And that's because we just want to be a people who are biblically faithful, who love God's word and who are obedient to it. And we see these in the scriptures, you know, love God, love God's word in prayer, love one another, like as a body of Christ, and then love our neighbor, which is where we are today.
Yep.
And then we'll go to love our gospel next time.
Love the gospel. Yeah. And with each of these, there's been a corresponding commitment that has been part of that. So with love God, there has been this corresponding commitment to commit to gathered worship. Mm. And then with love God's word in prayer, commit to personal worship. So being engaged in reading the Bible, being engaged in a lifestyle of prayer, committed to prayer. With loving one another, it's being committed to Christian community. And today, with loving our neighbors, it's committing to serving our neighbors and giving to our neighbors. Mm. And so hopefully today, as we talk through this, we're going to unpack what it means to love our neighbors, how we can actually love our neighbors, and then ways we can get involved in doing that. Mm. And because it's such a part of who we are here at Faith, we love our community, we do love our neighbors, and we strive by God's grace to do that, to make that a central part of what we do in our ministry here at Faith.
And honestly, it's not specific to Faith. I mean, Christians love their neighbors.
Right.
You know, Christians who are obedient to God's word love their neighbors. And that's why this is right at the heart of who we are.
And while we do have programs, well, we do have structured ways of doing that here at Faith, hopefully by the end of our time here on this podcast episode, people will see that it doesn't have to be programmed for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be happening organically in the lives of our people, day in and day out, in just your regular lives. We want you to be loving your neighbors.
And at the same time, being intentional.
Yeah,
you know, like
very intentional.
And that's where doing things on purpose, programs, things like that, giving initiatives, those kinds of things are good too. But but really it has to come from who we are as Christians.
Yeah. So Pastor Mike, as we jump into this love today. It's actually, in the order of things, our fourth love. And I don't know if there's really, you know, we begin with love God, and there's definitely a priority to that in the hierarchy of how we structure our loves. You know, how this lands. I don't know if there's necessarily a priority here.
I don't know that there was originally in the intent, but there is something to be said about that. I mean, we love God first and foremost.
Yeah.
God's word and prayer, that's the foundation of who we are. That's where everything else comes from, right? And then there is a special kind of love that Christians have for one another that is different, you know, and Paul used the word especially the household of God, you know? Yeah. And so there is an especially there, you know? But then love our neighbors, which is huge in the Bible too.
But there's a connection here between loving our neighbors and loving God. Mm. And we see this in Matthew 22, 34 through 39. And so I'm gonna read this here, and I have to do, you know, if you're watching on the podcast thing, I have to do the trombone thing now. With my Bible.
That's
when
probably
I read this.
Age.
It's yeah,
probably
it's
age.
Probably
yeah.
age.
I don't have to do that.
Do you have the transition lenses now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing that up.
But I've got the old-fashioned Bible here. There, you've got the electronic one,
I do.
I'm holier than you.
Yes.
But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, so that's an expert in the Jewish law, in the Torah, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophet. Mm. What's significant there in what he just said?
Oh, man, it's earth-moving, right?
Like, yeah.
It's huge. So the first part, we don't need to talk about too much, right?
Yeah.
Like it's God, love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Like just, he must be first in your heart,
yeah,
in your affections, in your love. But then love one another as yourself. And he says, this is the whole law is summed up there. I mean, you think about all the commandments and so many of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, have to do with loving your neighbor. Like, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. You know, those are neighborly commands, like how we live in community with other people.
Mm,
so, yeah, huge.
And he says there, he says, and a second is like it.
Yeah.
So there's this close tie. He begins with loving God. He makes that a priority, obviously. But he says, in a second, is like it.
Yeah.
And so there's a close connection there, loving God, and then he says there's this second priority there is loving your neighbor.
And
also,
I think yourself. There's a few different ways that it's like it. One way that it's like it is when we love our neighbor, it's a way of loving God. You know, we are loving our neighbor because we love God, because God loved us, because our heart and our mind are set on Him. We therefore love our neighbors. You know, so it's kind of it's like it in that sense.
Yeah. Very good thing. So that's why this is such a critical, this is why we have an entire love devoted to this here at Faith. We love God, and then really all of these other loves that we have really flow from that.
They do.
And they're so closely connected to that. If we love, yes, they are.
Yeah.
Because if we love God, we will love His word, we will love prayer, we will love one another, and we will love our neighbors.
Yeah.
And that's so critical there. So let's think about this. Let's think of a story in Scripture. There's so much that could be said in Scripture about loving our neighbors. We could go to so many different places. And I'm asking a leading question here. Is there a story in Scripture that really points to what it means to love our neighbors?
Well, gee, right off the top of my head and on the outline.
Is there written right in front of you on the outline?
The Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
The Good Samaritan, which surprisingly is one of the most, I mean, not surprisingly, it's one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Like, you know, we have laws called the Good Samaritan laws.
Yeah.
We have, you know, like it's one of those stories that kind of goes beyond just Christianity. People who are outside of Christianity often know about the story of the Good Samaritan, or they know of it. You know, and Samaritan, Good Samaritan has become a euphemism for somebody who's good, who just is kindly and acts nice and pleasant to other people.
It's kind of it's like a parable, a byword in our culture.
Yeah.
Even if someone is not necessarily biblically literate or a Christian, it's such a well-known story that people, you know, you call someone a Good Samaritan if they're like a good person who helps another person.
And I know at least two organizations that have named themselves Samaritans, Samaritan's Purse, and then there's another one that really have to do with because they function on trying to do good to other people, which is very interesting. And I'll just say this before we really dive into it. It's very interesting because he uses Samaritan. Do you ask this question? I don't think you do. Okay, so I'm not jumping ahead. Yeah. He uses Samaritan as his example because the Jewish people, they despised the Samaritans.
Yeah.
You know, they were one of the regulated people groups.
Into this a little bit.
Oh, you do? Okay, I don't want to jump ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about this parable. It's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. We're not going to read the whole passage, but let's just give a quick overview here. So it begins here and I've just got it open here to Luke chapter 10. And I'll read the first verse here. It says, "Behold, a lawyer." And so again, we're talking here not necessarily a civic lawyer. We're talking an expert in the law of Moses, the Torah, stood up to put Jesus to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Okay, so right off the bat here, as we often see in Jesus' time in these encounters with Jesus, people were coming to him to put him to the test. And he says, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So what is significant about that question right off the bat there?
What's wrong with it?
What's wrong with his understanding in that question right there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously what comes up is an overestimation of his own goodness.
Yeah.
An underestimation of God's actual law and what it requires of us. A lawyer not knowing that there's no way that you can inherit, you can't do anything to inherit eternal life. You just can't. The law is to show us God's way and the way that we ought to live, but it also serves as just a big mirror that shows you that you don't stand up to God's law and you need grace. So yeah, I mean, he's coming at it wrong. He's coming at it with a pretty smug understanding, but the Lord challenges it, doesn't he? He really challenges it. So he asks him, what does the law say? And he rattles off, you know, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. He actually says that, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus just says, "Okay, yeah, go do that, and you'll be fine."
Right. What's so funny about that is, let's go back to love God very briefly. Yeah. Let's just touch on that. You know, what does he say? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. Let's pause there for just a second. Okay, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength and with all your mind. Mike, Thomas.
No, I'll just say no. I can't. Okay. That's what you're going to ask.
Every inclination of your heart, every affection, every love, every beat of your heart. You know, it reminds me of that 80s song, "With every beat of my heart, I keep getting close." You know, just like all these, every affection of your heart, every longing of your soul, every thought that goes through your mind, everything in your being, you must love God. And we know we can't
do
that.
You can't. And you know, it's beautiful in a sense. Like, he's not saying you can't do it. You're only human. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's not okay. Like, God is holy.
Right.
He is absolutely holy. And right at that understanding that we cannot love God the way that we ought is the need for the gospel, is the need for somebody to come pay our sin debt, make us righteous by his own righteousness, and give us eternal life on the basis of grace.
Yes.
You know, this is why we need grace. You know, we can't do it. And so this lawyer, he's coming at it like, okay, what am I? And then he actually says, I've done all this since my youth. Didn't he say that in this?
Yeah. So he's, you know, love your Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Okay. So he sets this standard here. I mean, who do we love more than ourselves? We don't love anyone more than ourselves. Right. We do everything thinking of ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Bible is really clear about why there's wars, why there's, you know, things like murder.
Yeah.
It's because we love ourselves too much.
Right.
And somebody else gets in the way of that love, and so they got to go, or we go to war over it, or whatever.
Right. So the standard that Jesus sets for keeping the law is what? Is really what? It's perfection.
Yeah.
It's absolute perfection. And that's why, like, you go back to the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is going through, you know, he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a woman with lust, you know, you've committed adultery in your heart. Or if you hate someone, you've committed murder in them in your heart. And he goes through this list. It's a matter of the heart. It's a disposition of the heart. Yeah. We are lawbreakers. That is our inclination.
Again, the need of the gospel becomes really clear.
Absolutely.
And you can see that in this guy's response.
Yeah.
So he comes back and he says, from Luke is him desiring to justify himself. Yeah. Like, somehow, by the grace of God, he saw in that moment that he doesn't measure up.
Well, I want to ask real quick before we jump to that. When Jesus says, do this and you will live, is Jesus teaching works righteousness there?
Sure. Sure. But I think he's being genuine when he says that if you can do this, you'll be fine and you won't need a savior.
What's the problem?
We've stated it, right?
You can't do it.
You can't do it, right? So in stating that, he is showing that you can't do this.
Like, yeah.
So he is not, I mean, he's not teaching works righteousness in the sense that he's saying, this is the path, strive at these, do your very best, and God will accept you. He's not saying that at all. He's saying, you do this perfectly, and you're good as rain. You're right as rain, you know? But you can't. I mean, what it shows us since this side of the garden that we are fallen and we need help.
And that's the problem. The Pharisees thought they could.
Yeah.
They thought they could do it. They thought they could make enough rules. They thought they could make enough laws to love God enough to love their neighbors.
And so Jesus comes along and says, I tell you the truth, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you have no hope.
All right. And so it says in verse 29 here, but he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor?
Right.
There you go.
I think, you know, we know what he's doing. He's trying to say, you know, I bet come into his mind is our ways that he didn't love other people, right? Like God said, Jesus said to him, you go do this and you'll be fine. And right away, you know, the mirror of the gospel, the mirror of the law is there, and you look in it and you see that your face is dirty, right?
Yeah.
And he could see, okay, I haven't loved people well enough. And so perhaps he said that because, you know, maybe my neighbor is a close circle and I certainly love them well.
Yeah.
You know, sisters, cousins, you know, the guy who lives next to me, you know, I love them well. I'm a nice guy, you know. So he's trying to get at it. Like, who is my neighbor?
Make it attainable. Make it realistic, Jesus. Don't make it. You know, don't go too crazy with this requirement. Say, you know, tell me something that I can actually do that's realistic for me to keep this law. Okay. So then what does Jesus do? He responds with this parable. So let's summarize this parable. Yeah. What is this parable that Jesus gives him? It's the parable of the quote unquote good Samaritan.
Yeah. So a guy is beat up and needs help. And two people walk by him that you would think wouldn't, you know. And then the Samaritan comes who you think would walk by, and you'd almost expect him to be the bad guy in the story because, again, he's from the not pure Jewish lineage, you know, that part of the diaspora, the things that happened, the Samaritans were people who intermarried. There were Jewish people who intermarried and broke God's law that way, brought in some of their had terrible theology, you know, all of that. But the Samaritan doesn't walk right by. Like he, the priest, you know, who should stop, you'd think he'd stop. He's worried about becoming unclean or whatever. And he crosses the street even to ignore him. And he's probably thinking, he's probably justifying it a million ways, right? It's a parable. But you could see us doing this. You know, I'm so busy. I can't be unclean for this next ceremony, whatever.
Yeah.
So he crosses the street. The Samaritan goes over, helps the guy like crazy, takes him to an inn, pays for it, says he will pay it himself. He shows him love to a guy he doesn't know, to a guy he has no onus to, like as far as humanly speaking, but a guy who is in like before him, a person made in the image of God who needs help, and he helps him. And Jesus is making it super clear, that's your neighbor.
Yeah.
So the Samaritan's the neighbor, right?
So the priest and the Levi, the two guys that knew the law, that should have understood what it meant to love their neighbor, are the ones that passed this poor man by that was beaten and helpless, that should have understood what it meant to truly care and love for their neighbor. And the man, like you said, that had no onus, no reason to actually love their neighbor, are the ones that is the man that steps in and loves their neighbor. And it just, it's mind-blowing, really. It would have been a shocking story.
And one of the things that's really, I don't know, hits right at home for me is I can relate. I can relate to the priest and the Levite. Yeah. I can relate to thinking I'm too busy to help them. Yeah. I've got too much going on. You know, I can come up with a bunch of reasons why I can see somebody who needs my help, and I will pretend like I'm not. I don't do this a lot. I hope I don't, you know, but I could definitely see myself doing it, you know, pretending like I don't see it or don't know it, you know, that they need help.
Yeah.
And just keep going, you know, because I got my stuff to do, you know, and yeah.
It's easy to read this story and sometimes be like, just, you know, go out and be the Good Samaritan and kind of moralize it. But and it's really in there to make us realize that so often we are the ones that end up being more like the priest and the Levite, you know, at the end of the day.
It's one of those stories where I don't think we automatically read ourselves into the Samaritan. Like we see it as the ideal, but I think most people, if they're being honest, can read themselves pretty easily into the Levite or the priest.
Yeah.
But anyway.
That's a good word there.
Yeah. So Jesus said, I mean, this is in the context of love your neighbor as yourself, you know, like, and you, if you are beaten and wounded and need help, you certainly want that. Like you certainly want, you want that help, right? So you see somebody beaten and wounded. He's saying, love them that way. You know, just love them that way. You know, go help them the way that you would want to be helped, you know, because that's a good sense of what the person needs. You know that you'd want to be helped in that scenario, right? So go help him.
There's a great book, and I reference this when we go through the Faith Explore class. It's called Ministries of Mercy by Pastor Tim Keller, who's now with the Lord. He does a great job unpacking this story in that book. He goes through this parable extensively, but he talks about this, and let me give this quote right here. It says, Jesus is pointing this man to the perfect righteousness the law demanded so that he could see that he is powerless to fulfill it. He was seeking to convict the law expert of sin. Jesus says, in effect, my friend, I do take the law seriously, even more seriously than you do. Yes, you can be accepted by God if you obey the law perfectly, but look at the law. See what it is really after. If you can do that, you will live. But if you see clearly, you will realize that the righteous requirement of the law must be fulfilled in some other way.
Hmm.
You see there?
Yeah. I do, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So the natural response to this, I mean, the response that we need from this is to realize, okay, I need grace.
Right.
I need God's help. I need his help.
Yeah.
And he's given it.
Right. Yeah. So the requirement of the law to love our neighbors is to love in such a way that it's like we can't love our neighbors enough in the way that we ought. We need Christ's help because Christ is the one that loved us. Ultimately,
and
the
then,
way that we should love.
And then when the gospel has its effect, this also means that we can.
Like
God in us, the Holy Spirit residing in us, and his power flowing through us. You know, that whole poem I keep reading, and I love it. You know, run,
you
John,
go.
Run, the law commands, but gives us neither feet nor hands. Far better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly. It bids us love our neighbor.
Right.
Right? Yeah. And it gives us wings.
Yeah.
So now we are enabled to love one another, and it's a natural outflow of being a Christian.
Right. And just like we need that. Okay, we say this here at Faith. We talk about the heart transplant surgery.
Yeah.
The heart of stone is taken out and the heart of flesh is given. And then we are enabled by grace, the transforming power of God, to love him truly. And his work by the power of the Spirit is within us, enabling us to truly love him. We have that same transforming work of grace going on in our life, that heart transplant surgery that enables us to love our neighbors then going on in our lives.
Amen. And now it's that story has that dual effect to it, right?
Yeah.
Like the reason it's not a moralizing story that just leaves us with, like more to do,
you know,
is because at once we realize that that lawyer could not justify himself and neither can we. We need help. We need God's grace. And then as we have God's grace and we have the Spirit in us, we realize we can't not love now.
Yeah.
Now because of the work of God in us, we can't not love our neighbors because this is part and parcel of what it means to be a person who has a heart of flesh.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's been given a new heart by the work of God.
What you realize is this, is that you can listen to this story and you can come away with the sense of, hey, go do better. You know, just go love your neighbor more.
Right.
You know? And it's this kind of guilt-driven sense of, hey, Christian, you just go out there and pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and go love your neighbor more. But what you see here is a picture of the gospel. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You were at enmity with God. You were an enemy of the cross. And while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you and came and made you his own and rescued you and saved you and brought you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his marvelous light.
Yeah, amen.
And adopted you into his family and clothed you and made you his own. And then love for your neighbor is no longer guilt-driven, it is grace-driven. Mm. And so when you think about that, it turns that sense of love for your neighbor from being, I just got to do better, I just got to love my neighbor more, to, wow, Christ loved me, I can love others.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and so, I think people have responded to stories like this in two different ways. One, they have tried to up their game when it comes to pious deeds towards people.
Yeah.
Lots of, like, clean drinking water initiatives were started because people just wanted to up their game, right? And then other clean water initiatives were started because people realized, I can't up my game. I need Christ. And then when Christ empowers me, I want to go and I want to help people who don't have clean drinking water. Mm. And I want to love them well because I would want to have clean drinking water. And God, by his grace, has transformed me. He's given me new life. I can go and I can help them have clean drinking water. There's a gulf between these two ways of going at philanthropy and helping other people. One is so rooted in the gospel, and one is just rooted in kind of a desire to be good. But if the gospel has its full effect, you realize that's not going to go anywhere. But this goes everywhere. This is flying. So the same thing. Clean water initiatives. I'm just using it as an example. Can have two different motivations behind it.
If you've received gospel compassion, then and you understand that, then you can give gospel compassion.
Yep.
You know how to show that to others.
And I hope what we're communicating, Thomas, is that it's so unseemly for Christians to not do this.
Right.
It's out of character for you, if you're a listener and you're it's so out of character for someone with a new heart to be selfish, or to hoard their resources, or to not help somebody, or to cross the street and not reach out and help somebody when you can. That's out of character for you. That's different, than who you ought to be.
I want to share one more quote from Keller's Ministries of Mercy book. This is so good.
Yeah, that's a great book, by the way.
The person who knows that he has received mercy while an undeserving enemy of God, I love that, will have a heart of love for even and especially the most ungrateful and difficult persons. When a Christian sees prostitutes, alcoholics, prisoners, drug addicts, unwed mothers, the homeless, the refugees, he knows that he is looking in a mirror. And perhaps the Christian spent most of his life as a respectable middle-class person. No matter, he thinks, spiritually, I was just like these people, though physically and socially I never was where they are now. They were out. They are outcast, and I was an outcast. Mm. And that is the remedy for cold hearts. If you're truly a Christian believer out there and you struggle with compassion, spend time meditating upon what Christ did for you and the compassion that He showed you. Meditate on verses like Romans 5:8 that while you were yet a sinner, Christ died for you. And think about how God showed you love when you were an outcast and His love for you.
So this love that is our fourth love, it really is just what it means to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And the reason we want to be a loving church, like a church that loves our neighbors, is because the gospel has had its way with us. You know, we are different people. Like He has transformed us by His grace, and we have His Spirit, and we want to love like God loves. And so we want to look at our neighbors, and, you know, we know who those are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are people who are outside, image bearers, you know, of God, who are outside of the church, and we want to love them well. We want to love our neighbors in Sioux Falls and around the world well. And we do, there's lots of ways to express this, and I think that's where we're going to go now, like ways that we can do this, and some organized and some not. You know, we do some organized ones. We just sent a team down to Mexico, and they built a house.
Yeah.
That's a neighborly, I mean, that's a way to love your Mexican neighbors well, you know, a family there who couldn't have had a house now has a house.
Mm.
You know, that's beautiful, and that's a way to love. And then there's unorganized ways, right?
Yeah, well, and these are some steps that we give. These are just some practical steps. One, the first one we talk about grow is simply get to know your neighbors.
Mm.
Know the needs of your community. And this is an important thing. Don't remain aloof to your community. Be aware of what's going on around you. And that is a helpful thing. Just be aware of what's going on in your community, who your neighbors are. You know, I've been around places where, you know, like, who lives next to you, and people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't know who your neighbors
are,
which
is super common today because of the way that we, you know, no one has to go outside, and we have these high fences, you know, these privacy fences, and it's super easy to live somewhere for 5 years and not know who's in front of you, who's beside you, you know.
So grow in your knowledge of your neighbors and the needs around you.
Yeah.
And then make intentional steps to build bridges into those neighbors. And these can be very intentional steps that you take. Bake cookies and take them to them at Christmas time. Invite them over for a cookout. Make little steps. Go shovel their driveway when a snowstorm hits. Little bitty steps like that, invite them to come to the praise and pies service or the Christmas Eve service. Take them a friendly care package. There's little things you can do that are very helpful along the way.
If you see they need something, help them.
Yeah.
You know, take their cans back up. Yeah, there's lots of ways that you can help the people who live physically next to you.
Equip yourself to speak to them intelligently. If you find out that your neighbor is Mormon, learn about what they believe so that you can speak to them in a way that is understandable. I mean, if you find out that your neighbor is a Muslim, learn about what they believe so that you can have a conversation with them that could lead somewhere. You don't have to become an expert in Islam, but, you know, you want to know how they think. And, you know, there's resources out there. You could talk to us here at the church. We might be able to help you find a good book that would enable you to have a good gospel conversation and lead to that. Serve them. And we've already talked about this. There's organizations that we partner with here at Faith, the domestic ministries team. There's Union Gospel Mission. There's the Banquet,
Compassion International,
Compassion International, Center of Hope, Alpha Center. There's lots of different local ministries and broadly national ministries, international ministries that we partner with here. And then giving.
Yeah.
We have many generous people here at church, but but giving to ministries is also an important part of what we do that enable those ministries to keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, that Samaritan gave of his time.
Yeah.
He gave of his energy. He gave of his treasure. I mean, he went the whole way with that, right?
Yeah.
He really gave of himself, you know, to help this guy.
Yeah. So, and if you have any questions about this, we would love to hear them. You can send us your questions. Go to sifpodcast.com. You can submit questions there. We've had a question come in recently. I didn't put it on this because I think this is a question that's probably going to need further research from us down the road, but we'll address it on a future podcast. So we don't have any questions today, Pastor Mike, but if you have any questions about serving your neighbors and ways you can get involved here at Faith, please reach out to us. Let us know. We would love to talk with you further about that.
We want to be a church that loves our neighbors.
Absolutely.
It's one of our core loves.
Yeah. So for the Sound in Faith podcast, this has been a good episode today, yeah. Pastor Mike. Always love talking about this subject. It's great. We love our community. We love our Lord. And because God has loved us, we want to love others.
Amen.
Amen. So for the Sound in Faith... Blah, 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 blah.
We have to redo the whole thing.
We
now,
have
Thomas.
To do. We've got to start all over. Yeah. For the Sound in Faith podcast, I'm Pastor Thomas Lawson.
And I'm Pastor Mike Johnson.
Lord willing, we'll see you Sunday.